The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, April the 19th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled The 30th Anniversary of the Oklahoma City Bombing. And the time is 8:35 a.m. here in London, making it 3:35 on the east coast of America and 35 minutes past midnight on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. And with regard to the David Hoffman book, The Oklahoma City Bombing and the Politics of Terror, that forms today's show image, this is something I found in full online about 25 years ago, and as it cast doubt on the government's official version of events, was subsequently banned. I no longer have it, but I recall it gripped me at the time. One can only wonder what a physical copy would cost these days. Okay. So following BitChute denying their services to UK residents due to the Online Safety Act, which I told you about on last week's show, the social media platform Gab has also denied their services to UK residents for the same reason in the last few days, which may have left some of you in the UK scratching around for something to listen to, as you no longer have access to shows you used to listen to. And this is where I am prepared to come to the rescue. Whilst I now accept, after my last donation drive, that I am unlikely to earn enough from my shows to make a living, I am prepared to do an extra show each time I receive a total of £50 in donations, which can be made up of a single donation or combined donations. Funnily enough, I have £30 in the kitty, which is made up from a couple of donations I received about 2 weeks ago, which means I only need an extra £20 to do an extra show. So as you can see, I will never diddle you folks. All your donations are combined, and every time they hit £50, I will record and broadcast an extra show, and any monies over and above that £50 are placed in the kitty until they hit £50, and then I do another show, and so on and so forth it goes, unless, of course, I'm taken out or taken down. The extra shows would be broadcast on each of the days of the week that I do not currently do shows. So in other words, ACH would be back to broadcasting a new show every day of the week until the money ran out. As I said before, this Saturday show, the Tuesday show with Dr. Peter Hammond, and Sunday's traditional Christian message will remain free. But if you want additional shows, the donate button is up at the top of the website, achshow.com. Staying on the subject of the closure of more platforms for UK users, one thing I have noticed by going to beforeitsnews.com, one of the platforms, BitChute, is what I had the Richie from Boston channel on. There was a recent video of his, well, it was put up on Monday, April the 14th, what was that, last Monday? Called New Richie from Boston, This One Event Changed the World and Opened the Door to C19. So that's a post on beforeitsnews.com. It's no longer up on the front page. I had to look for it for you. And the reason I look for it for you is that it has a video in it, which is a BitChute video. And when you click on it, let's try it now. it plays.
So even though they gave me my channel back after fighting with them for 5 years, they're still hitting me every day with copyright strikes, takedown notices, and age restrictions. In this one particular video, I can't let this go age restricted, so I'm going to post it on Rumble because it will stay there. I'll also post it on BitChute, but people in the UK can't see it. But I'll also post it on Odyssey. How about that? And Richie from Boston TV, because this is important, all right? This was...
Okay. Now, another interesting thing there is a website that I used for downloading BitChute, and it would add a additional button on the BitChute control panel just below the video, well, below the play line of the video, and that button's still there. And when I hover over it, it download pops up. So I can play this video. I've just played it, just demonstrating that. But when I clicking it here, nothing happens. So it sounds to me like they've also managed to infiltrate some independent party that set up some software that you could go to BitChute with, because it doesn't make sense that you can still play it on this different platform, but you can't download it. And for me, that shows how everything all links in together. You know, these people that come out and, oh, you can download your videos for free and stuff like that, don't for one moment imagine that they're not getting something out of it. Whether it's some of your data, cookies, whatever, stuff like that. There's not that many benevolent people out there that are going to do that sort of thing, folks. So always be suspicious. And I just wanted to give you an example there. And the other thing that Richie said there, and I appreciate this because he's over in the States and he's actually got some consideration for us over in the UK, which is why he's going to put this video on, he mentioned, Rumble, Odyssey, and Richie from Boston TV, which is .tv, and that's a subscriber service that Richie has. It's a subscriber website, so I don't think it's very expensive. So if you're a big fan of Richie from Boston, you probably want to join that, because he'll have all sorts of stuff in there that I've not seen, because I'm not a subscriber. But I checked both his Odyssey channel and his Rumble channel, and I went for Rumble, because the best way to do it is to, firstly, don't look for Richie from Boston, Odyssey, or Rumble in Google. Okay, forget it, because it might work, but I don't trust them. The best place to go is to open up rumble.com and then open up odyssey.com. So I'm going to give you the spelling of Odyssey, because it's a bit odd. It's not like use it up and wear it out band, for a start. Or Homer. That's another one. I think they were both spelled the same, weren't they? No, it's spelled O-D-Y-S-E-E and then .com. So you need to open that and rumble.com. And then type in Richie from Boston in both, and you will see, working from the top, most recent first, they all match up, and then suddenly there's more in the Rumble than there is in the Odyssey. So that tells me that Richie uploads more stuff to Rumble than he does to Odyssey. So I'm saving the Rumble channel. That's where I'm going to go to look for his most recent stuff rather than the Odyssey. Okay, but I want to give you an idea of the other people I used to listen to on BitChute to tell you where you can find them. So Eyes is Watching, that is one of my favourite weekly news roundup shows. That is obviously, I had that on BitChute, but they... Steve Eyes of Eyes is Watching has a channel on Odyssey. He only does one show a week. And so you just go to, again, odyssey.com and Eyes is Watching, which is one word without a G on the end, as it sounds. Another one is Mark Collett's BitChute channel I had. Of course, that's gone in the UK. He also has an Odyssey channel. So that is where I go. And he seems to put everything up. He generally... on a full week, he will do a Sunday show, a Wednesday show, and a Friday video. Interestingly, the Friday video he did that I listened to yesterday, about 12 minutes, was all about the online safety bill, all about Ofcom and censoring the likes of BitChute and Gab in the UK. So if you want to know more about that, that's a good place to start. And he made the comment that what the online safety bill goes after is any platforms where people can either upload video, upload photos or make comments. So with that in mind, one has to wonder how long Odyssey, Rumble, and even before its news are going to be available in the UK. So watch this space. So the reason I mention this is I'm not trying to give the powers that should not be ideas. They already know what they're going to go after. Okay, they've gained this long ago. And that's why this came in to law. And I'm going to give you more evidence of that later in the show. But I'm telling you because you want to get what you can out of there. If you are going to download stuff, things like that, do it while you can. That's the way I look at it. I'm not going to be... I know people say go to BitChute using a VPN, stuff like that. I'm not going to do that, you know. It's gone as far as I'm concerned. I don't trust all these VPNs, people offering VPNs. Again, some of them are free, some of them you have to pay for, but all of them, I imagine, will be watching you. And they're not going to be the, you know, this anonymous way of looking at things. Anyone that says that means that they're going to be monitoring you more than you would be if you weren't using such a platform. That's my opinion. I'm deeply suspicious. Take it or leave it. Okay, so another one that I can see here. I mentioned Richie from Boston. Use the Rumble channel for that instead of the BitChute. Jim Rizzoli. He has Rizzoli.tv on Odyssey.com. Now, the good thing about Odyssey is that you can download all the videos. You don't have to put them into a different website to download them, stuff like that. There is a download function on the video, so I then have to convert it to an MP3 to put it on my phone. But there's all sorts of free programs that you can use for that. I use Format Factory. That's one I've been using for years. I don't know whether that still works. I'll give you an example. There was another program, Audacity, which I used to, when I put a show intro segment into the show, start the show between the Rick Adams disclaimer and the opening music, I can get those two segments and also put this other segment in the middle and join them together with Audacity, and then you save it. Well, my computer told me, oh, that needs updating, that app. Oh, that program needs updating. Oh, it could be dangerous, you know, if it needs updating. Well, guess what, folks? The updated version, you have to pay for that functionality. Oh, isn't that wonderful? All these updates, they're always so good, aren't they? They're so beneficial for you that they don't actually do what you intended it to do. So, of course, I rolled it back to where it was. Said, no, I don't want this after all. I still had the original program, so I uninstalled the updated one and put the original back. And every time I run a virus scan, it, oh, you really must update this. Really? To whose benefit? Okay, so back to what I was talking about. The Rizzoli.tv is the one that's on Odyssey.com. The difference between that and the BitChute channel is you only get the daily walk and talk and the, I think, the Hoax Buster show they do once a week. They don't post any of the other videos, which for me is a good thing because I only ever bothered with the walk and talk, so it's easier for me to navigate. And what's the last one? Let me see. Yes, Victor Hugo's BitChute channel. Now, I had quite a bit of interest with this because a few weeks ago, I found that Victor Hugo had a channel on Brighteon.com. And I went to it, and the reason Brighteon.com is, for me, the best platform out there is I am not interested in the videos. I just want to get the MP3s. And when I generally have to download the video one way or another, then convert it to an MP3. But with Brighteon, you can download it as an MP3. That's a great idea. I'm surprised that the others don't do it. But, yeah. So I ran with the Victor Hugo Brighteon.com channel for a while. And I discovered that I did my comparison, like I just told you about Richie from Boston with Rumble and Odyssey. And I found that there were videos that were skipped on Brighteon.com. And it was only recently, when BitChute went down, that I went over there again. And I found out I couldn't find any Last Touchman videos on there. And for me, that's the only thing worth listening to now on Victor Hugo's channel, because all the rest is just him moaning about Jim Fetzer, which, you know, okay, you had a falling out, you're not on this show anymore, yeah, move on. But it just goes on about it on a daily basis, and rather than there was some satire in at the beginning, now he's just sounding like a petulant child, to be honest. But if I'm right, and he's not posting his shows for The Last Dutchman on Brighteon.com, why is he on there? because he's always moaning about Jim Fetzer censoring him and stuff like that. But what, is it okay if Mike Adams does as well? Or does he just not choose to put those shows on there? Or have I missed them? Is it me that's being stupid here, a bit thick, and I've not seen them? But if there is a reason why he's not putting them on there, one thing I can suggest is if he promotes the satellite phone store in those shows, and I'm sure they'll be fine on Brighteon then. Because get this, folks, I had this lined up to talk to you about a couple of weeks ago, but I ended up not running it because I've mentioned it before and it's old hat now. But you know, I talk about the Mike Adams, Steve Quayle shows where they always go on about the satellite phone store. It's so bloody irritating that I will not listen to it anymore. Well, a couple of weeks ago, this Bright Learn feature that Mike Adams has started putting on his Health Ranger Report channel on Brighteon.com, it had, I think it was about 4 or 5 minutes, and it was an AI summary of the most recent two-hour show between Mike Adams and Steve Quayle. And I thought, well, I'll listen to that. That's the summary of it. I won't go near the whole thing because I don't want to get on my nerves when they keep talking about satellite phone stories if it's a news item rather than a grift. So I listened to it and I was listening through it. And get this, not only did they mention the satellite phone store, so this AI that's supposed to be so good at going through a two-hour interview for some reason thought, oh, one of the important things in that two-hour interview, one of the things that the public really want to hear is the satellite phone store. But they also mentioned the web address for them. And I don't know if they mentioned anything else because I turned hit the delete button and that was gone. And then straight after that, I deleted the Health Ranger report from my radio links that I have on my computer because I won't go near that guy's channel ever again. It annoys me too much. And that actually saves me a job because one thing that I tend to do every afternoon about 4 or 5 o'clock here in the UK is I go on to Jim Rizzoli's channel and the Mike Adams channel on Brighteon because they tend to post new content by that time each day and I can look at it and see if I want to listen to it. But that's one job I won't have to do anymore. So that's just a little tip there for Victor Hugo. If indeed he is not posting his Last Dutchman shows on Brighteon.com, but he is posting them on Rumble.com. So again, I found them on Rumble. I downloaded one recently and it worked, but I couldn't find any on Brighteon.com. But as I said earlier, maybe I'm just a bit thick and I miss them. Okay, so let's move on to what have I got next for you. Well, it's what I've found of interest in the news since last week's show. So I've got quite a few bits and pieces for you here. Let's go over and start off with, well, this goes back to a week ago today, so it's old news, but you probably heard about this Coachella festival. I'd never heard of it until last weekend because I read about, apparently Lady Gaga did some satanic imagery in her performance, which I thought, oh wow, you know, that was a great surprise to me, as I'm sure you can imagine. But it made me reflect upon how interesting it would have been to hear Tim Riefat be interviewed on Jeff Rentz's program about it, because Tim Riefat used to be on regularly every month, and I think the last time they had him on, as I recall, they just had really bad connection problems. He was living in Vietnam, so presumably they just can't connect anymore, and that's why he's gone. But he used to do a lot of work on deciphering satanic imagery in music videos, and he'd go through things like likes of Katy Perry and stuff like that. And some of those shows were interesting, but I was more interested in the stuff he did about Cobalt 60 and North Korea and stuff like that. That was what I kind of enjoyed. So again, that was a folder that I went through a long time ago. I had everything from the past 3 years, listened to it all the way through, and I just saved the ones that I enjoyed the most. And the good thing about that is when I want to go back to it and listen to it again, I've probably forgotten most of it and I'll enjoy it all again, whereas I have to go through the far bigger folder before I pruned it down, then I won't enjoy it as much. But some of you like to have all the content. I mean, if you've saved a load of my shows, I advise you do the same with my show. You know, there's going to be some you're going to listen back to and say, was that actually worth listening to? I'd rather free up some space on my computer. And it's quite good, the amount of stuff that you can clear. But that was what jumped out to me when I saw about the satanic imagery. It would have been nice to hear, refreshing to hear Tim Riefat's analysis of this performance. And you can too. If you go to rentsradio.com and become a subscriber, you can get access to all of the archives. And I basically just went back the last, well, whenever his last show was, 3 years from then. And he was on pretty much once a month. So there you go. Then we've got the Beatles. There was a story this week about the Forgotten Beatle, a drummer. So most people would say, yeah, that's Pete Best. No, it's not Pete Best, ladies and gentlemen. It's a guy called, let me see if I can remember his name, Jimmy Nicol. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. And who this guy was there was a tour of Australia taking place in 1964. And just before it, Ringo Starr got tonsillitis. So the Beatles needed another drummer at short notice. Somehow they got onto this guy, Jimmy Nicol. And he was brought in hurriedly to quickly rehearse and pick up the songs he needed to get. He then flew out to Copenhagen with the band. They did a concert there. They flew on from there to Australia. And they did several concerts there. And at the end of it, he was given, I believe, £500 for his time and a gold watch. And he was never heard from again. It's not strictly true. He, that year, despite getting all that and being touted as the next big thing, as he'd actually worked with the Beatles, what's he going to do himself? Well, he went bankrupt, I understand. He's popped up in different places like Mexico and the Netherlands over the years, but even today, his own son says he does not know if he's dead or alive. It popped up apparently in the late 90s as a builder somewhere, and as I say, those two countries that I mentioned, but nobody seems to know if this guy's with us or not. And he had a bit of a difficult life, supposed to be some addiction problems in the 60s, his estrangement from his son. His son literally said, see if I can find the quote here, but just scrolling down. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum. He said, his son's called Howie Nicol. He said he may be living here or abroad, or he may be dead. I don't know. He's an old man, and he leads his life his way, and I lead mine. I have my own family. I'm busy. We are father and son. That's all. So there you go. That's an interesting story about this Jimmy Nicol character. And then we've got an Albanian lesbian couple. They have won the right to stay in the UK because they say that they will be targeted in Albania because Albania is homophobic. And then we've got a woman who spent £400 on Facebook to buy Taylor Swift tickets for her daughter's birthday, only to find out it was a scam. And this is where we return to the Online Safety Act, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the way governments historically sell you, get you to put up with their propaganda, their totalitarianism, their censorship, is it's for the children. It's for the children. We went to war with Germany because the media told us that the Germans were tossing babies on their bayonets. It's for the children. It's always for the children. Well, if you're so worried about children, this woman's daughter was told she was getting these tickets and then it turned out to be a scam. Why aren't you doing anything to Facebook? Well, yes, you are. You are doing something to Facebook, aren't you? You're telling them that they've got to abide by all these things about what people can and can't say on Facebook. How about people actually scamming people out of money? Well, no, you don't care about that, because all you care about is them not saying things that you don't like. So you couldn't care about that child there being denied her birthday present by a scammer on Facebook. So surely if you cared about that child, there'd be some law on Facebook that, well, you know, it's on your platform, so you have to refund this woman the money. Or better still, you can go out and find some agency and buy the tickets and give them to the mother. Well, eBay does that, doesn't it? If you get some seller who doesn't send something to you on eBay, you go to eBay and say, look, and they say, well, we'll give 7 days for the seller to respond. And if they don't, they step in and they'll refund you the money and they'll pursue the seller. So why doesn't the British government go after Facebook for something like that? Because they couldn't give a toss about children. They couldn't give a toss about anything apart from their own totalitarian way of censoring what people do and don't say. That's all they care about. And that is why you've got all these people that are being investigated for things they say online by police forces who haven't got the time to investigate people being stolen from, like this woman was. Okay, let's move on. There's been a lot of claims in the mainstream media in the last week about the Blue Origin. Was it Jeff Bezos' wife and Katy Perry and all this? It was supposed to be some all-woman space flight. It sounds all very, very peculiar to me. And I've not looked into it at all. A lot of people are saying it's fake, and they're giving all these different reasons why it's fake. And you'll find them in the mainstream media. It sounds too wokish to me, wokery, all this sort of stuff, an all-female crew, and one thing was pointed out was how the makeup on the women and the hair was all perfect when they got out, which doesn't really sound like some sort of supersonic space flight and all that, but you can look it up if you like. I mention it as I like to give you ideas that may interest you, but it didn't really interest me, so I threw this in more for your benefit than mine. We also have, in the UK, people waiting 6 months for a driving test. And they've been saying it's harder to book than Oasis tickets or, well, Taylor Swift tickets in this woman's case that we just mentioned. Indeed, one girl who's a student, she had to travel 400 miles from Surrey, which is near where I am, to Cornwall, which is where Malefica Scott is, to do a driving test, and she had to stay overnight and what have you. I wouldn't have fancied doing that myself because I failed my first two driving tests, so I passed on the third time, which means not only would I have been disappointed, I've been out of pocket too. But that is apparently going on in the UK. Presumably, it depends on what area you're living in. So if you're near where I am, you're going to have to be travelling to somewhere like Cornwall where they've not got such a waiting list, it sounds like. But this is yet another thing that society is supposed to get better, aren't they? So why do we always see ours going downhill? Well, because it's a planned takedown of the West and they're going to hit you every which way that they can. Talked last week about a police force, I believe it was West Yorkshire, that are prioritising non-white candidates over white candidates. Well, I also read this week that the NHS in the UK does the same thing when they're trying to fill a role. And, you know, I mean, you wouldn't know that, folks, to walk into an NHS hospital, would you? I'll leave that to you to be the judge. The Breakfast Club, you remember that film from the 1980s, 1985 to be exact? Well, it had its 40th anniversary this week, and all the cast got together for the first time in 40 years in Chicago. I believe it was one of these sort of Comic-Con type festivals, might have been called something else, but you get the drift. There's pictures of them that you always see sitting on those swivel chairs in a row on stage when they do all these sort of get-togethers and film, you know, these sort of anniversary things. What made this one unique is that they have got together before, but Emilio Estevez always chose not to be part of it, but this time he decided to, and he gave one of his reasons was that it was in Chicago where apparently the film was set. I actually bought the Blu-ray of The Breakfast Club not too long ago because I decided to, you know, I've run out of things to watch, and I literally had to hold my hands up this week and say, I can honestly say now that there's nothing I'm going to go on to Blu-ray for and buy to watch. If I'm in a charity shop and I see something, well, that might be interesting, 50p a pound, then okay. If it's not, I can just give it back to the charity shop, can't I? Donate it to a different charity shop, whatever. But spending a few pounds on eBay for something that you get and then it's like, this is a disappointment, I've run out, and I'm quite pleased I've run out. So in the past, I was looking at things like I used to watch some of these Brat Pack movies. And for example, The Breakfast Club is quite a good Brat Pack movie you can still see today. It's still an interesting story, stuff like that. Whereas if you look at something like St. Elmo's Fire today, which is many of the same cast, it was in the same genre, it just doesn't work. And I can't think of any of these other films going back to that era that does. For me, The Breakfast Club is the one that stands up you know, outside of all the others. So it was interesting to see them get together in the last week. And discover it was the 40th anniversary in the last week. We all remember the Simple Minds song, Don't You Forget About Me. Back, that was 40 years ago now that you were, if you got lucky, slow dancing to that with somebody in a disco or whatever. Okay, nightclub. Let's move on to, there was a mother. She has been banned from her daughter's primary school because she was complaining about trans identity lessons that they're introducing to, I think, 9-10-year-olds, stuff like that. Thinks it's wrong. Well, many of you will have heard this year, in the last week, that we had a big ruling in the UK that a woman is now defined as what they were biologically at birth, which I don't know why we needed to go through all this nonsense when, well, the Bible tells us the difference between a man and a woman. Again, we just go back to that, don't we? Or birth certificate. Well, now, after probably millions, if not billions of pounds spent in litigation and all this sort of stuff, they've gone back to what the Bible said. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if they're going to go back to what the Bible said on other points of law. I very much doubt it, at least not willingly. They might be forced into it when we have the return. But at this stage, it was interesting to see that happening. It was also interesting to see a load of banks saying that they're still, you know, they're going to somehow go against this one way or another. Some regulators saying they actually singled out the NHS, funnily enough, because they're apparently known for their wokery. You know, you better adhere to this and these new guidelines in as a result of this ruling. Otherwise, we're going to come after you. So that'll be a government body going after a government body. So not quite sure how that's going to work. Okay, and then we move on to the BBC, they did a report in the last week that some vets, they revealed that they're under pressure to bring in more money per pet. Okay, and the interesting thing here, you might remember that I mentioned some years ago that your local barber, where you get your hair cut, that's going to become your Amazon barber. Basically, all the corporations want to own absolutely everything. Well, I was half right. There's a line in this article. It says, in 2013, only 10% of vet practices in the UK were owned by large corporate groups. Now that figure stands at 60%. Bills for pet owners have risen as corporate ownership has increased. Oh, what a surprise. By how much? More than 60%. Okay? And then you've got these people coming out saying the people that own our surgeries are basically saying you've got to make more money per pet. All right? That's how these people work. Okay? And in the end, it's my understanding that BlackRock, the reason they got all their wealth is they've got some sort of computer model that they use to target certain shares, to buy them at certain times, which for me sounds like a pretty unfair advantage that they're getting that some regulator should have looked at. But, you know, it's we'll see if they're buddy up with the regulator. Sounds to me like they are. Something that Pastor Bob Jones once said was, a good lawyer knows the law, but a great lawyer knows the judge. We'll be getting to another one of his sayings a bit later in the show. But this reminds me of a couple of people I know, similar age to me, went to the dentist this year, in fact. Different dentists, and they both got told that, oh, you're grinding your teeth at night, so you need mouth guard to wear at night. I think it was in the region of £200 or £250, something like that. So these people, never been told this before. Both this year, both at different surgeries, are being told the same thing, that suddenly, oh, you grind your teeth, you need a mouthguard at night. That sounds to me like some corporate company has said, oh, what can we grift? How can we make this extra money? Oh, yeah, we can do that. The person doesn't really need that, but they've got so many patients, and if we charge them this amount each time, that'll make us an extra whatever. Yeah, just do that. Just make them go through putting something in their mouth every night to sleep with, like a boxer, that they don't need because it makes us a few extra quid. This is what happens when you have this sort of totalitarian control by these companies that should not be allowed to operate and should not be allowed to own all this stuff. They should have their stuff confiscated. Okay, so let's move on to, Another big organisation, the World Health Organisation. Oh yes, those wonderful people who I believe in the last week did manage to get that little thing through whereby during the next pandemic they will get governments to obey every diktat that they issue. So, in other words, look out for a new pandemic, folks. And they've already had a trial run of one that they've called Mammoth Pox or Exercise Polaris. And it was a fictional virus, but when I heard about it, Mammoth Pox, it was all about with global warming. It melts and a mammoth is revealed in the ice where it was safely before all these evil people were burning all these fossil fuels and stuff like that. They really should be on bicycles, shouldn't they? This is another dystopian world they have, especially for the West. They don't seem to have a problem with, you know, countries like China and India burning all these fossil fuels. It's only certain countries that need to be sent backwards and need to have to rely on forms of energy that are completely inappropriate for modern day, that don't work, like wind power and battery cars and all this sort of stuff that catch fire. But I digress as normal. What this reminded me of is there was a TV series a few years ago. It ran for 3 series. I think the 3rd series was only a couple of episodes, but it was very good. And it was called Fortitude. And it opens up, it's set in, I think, Iceland, somewhere like that. Beautifully shot because it's all covered in snow all the time and what have you. And some people unearth a mammoth which has a virus. And hey presto, loads of people get infected, which sounds very much like this simulation the World Health Organization have been doing, doesn't it? And it makes us think about things like The Simpsons introducing stuff that somehow then turns out to be factual. Well, this hasn't turned out to be factual, but it's a simulation, and we will see what the next pandemic is derived from, or rather what they tell us it's derived from. Now, I mentioned last week that Tommy Robinson had gone to court. Well, not him. He's in jail. His lawyers had gone to court. Let's just have a drink of water. Because he said his prison stay was affecting his mental health. Well, the judges ruled against him and he's going to stay in prison. So I understand his release date is sometime in July. I don't know if he can get out any earlier for good behaviour or what have you. But I'm sure when he gets out, it will be news around the world and you'll hear about it before you hear about it from me. We had some passengers that were on a train. And a couple of trains had been cancelled. So consequently, the train that they were on was very full. People standing up. It was a hot train. It was stuffy. And so they were asked to get off. Not asked to, they were told the train's going to pause here at Swindon. I believe it was Swindon Station. And you can get off and you can get a bit of air and stuff. You know, it's pretty horrible in that train, isn't it? Well, unfortunately, they didn't tell them when to get back on and instead closed the doors and they left these passengers stranded at Swindon Station. And off they went with their luggage as well, even though the passengers were raving and trying to get the train to stop and stuff like that. So, again, another example of the wonderful services one can expect in the UK, and the trains as well. This is a business that was privatized because, you know, private companies, they do so well, but because, you know, one of the things about privatization is it introduces competition, it makes them be better. Well, that's funny, that, isn't it? Because, you see, I understand there's lots of different train companies in the UK, but I can't go to my station and say, right, I want to travel to a certain place on this particular train because they're the best performing, because the train companies also own certain lines. So it's all a complete farce. And what essentially happens with privatisation is all the government funding goes into the company and then it gets privatised, so they don't need to upgrade facilities and that for a while, and they just let them fall into rack and ruin. And when they've got bad enough that the private company will then have to spend money rather than grift money every year, that's when, oh, it gets nationalised again. So all the taxpayer can put all the money to put everything right. And then once everything's been put right, oh, we'll privatise it again. So all our friends in the private company can get hold of it and grift off it and make money off it and give us backhanders off it and all that sort of stuff. That's society today. And that takes us on to the Trump tariff situation, which I find incredibly boring and tedious, which has steered me away from many shows that I regularly listen to in the last week. And I found this revealing story, though. It turns out that Wall Street banks have raked in $37 billion on the Trump tariff claim, i.e. him introducing all these tariffs at one point, and then we had that story come out that he was going to roll them back, and then that was going to be fake news, and then, so it was almost a bit like the BBC's live stream of the Building 7, you know, they said it came down while it was still stood up behind them, because it ended up that he did roll back the tariffs, well, apart from to China. And during that time, that turbulent time, you can imagine these stockholders being told by their people, well, you know, he's putting these tariffs on, you really should sell because you're going to lose a lot of money. And then suddenly he rolls them back. So, oh, actually, you know, they're going up again. Maybe you need to buy them back and things like that. Well, another Bob Jones saying, Pastor Bob Jones, is about the scam of the stock market. And he says this. The house made money, the broker made money, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And again, I'm a very suspicious individual. And when I remember the Kushner, Jared Kushner, who was approached by somebody in the first Trump campaign that he was trying to get as a donor, and they said, well, you know, we're not into all this building a wall and deporting people and all that. And he said, well, no, no, we're just saying that. Just saying that. Yeah, just saying it to get elected. Just lying to get elected. And we see that this time. It was all this great fanfare on day one, Trump rounding up all these people. And suddenly, a lot of people in the alternative media that were applauding this are saying, hang on, what's happening now? Nothing's happening. This was just his sort of showpiece, and then it'll kind of go away quietly. It's all to get you on board for the real agenda that he's pulling, which is some sort of totalitarian censorship program that you can't criticize certain things, should we just say, and leave that there. And it caused me to, I thought to myself how everything is topsy-turvy these days. The alternative media used to be the media that would question the government, but now the majority of them are all on this Trump train, whereas the mainstream media, which generally, you know, now and then they'll run something anti-government to try and make them look independent, but they're generally the mouthpiece of the government. Just look at what they did during COVID. But now when it comes to Trump, even here in the UK, they're acting like the critical, like the alternative would be, of a government, which is really quite amazing to when you think about it, how everything has gone that way. Of course, I don't trust any politician, okay? The Epstein thing was one... For me, it was a franchise of a global corporation that got exposed. I believe these franchises are pretty much in every country in the world, and the key people running those countries, or we're told running those countries, has been somehow blackmailed under that, or they've been bribed under something else, or blackmailed under something else. Just go back to the four planks of the Illuminati in 1776. I cover this in my book, The Synagogue of Satan, and one of them was to get hold of people in higher places by blackmail or bribery. And do you think that they've perfected that 249 years later? I believe that they have, and that is why we see government policy is never for their so-called people's interests, it's for the interests of other people. And let's move on to, there is a restaurant in the UK called the Toby Carvery that is one of my favourites. In fact, on my birthday, for my special birthday meal, I went to the Toby Carvery. And what they did is they have a branch over in North London, Enfield, I believe. Enfield is where the second Conjuring film took place, the Enfield Hauntings, which was took me about 6 months to get that image of that old guy jumping out from behind the chair. And I think the fact it was made in England as well kind of added to it. But anyway, back to the story. They cut down a tree that was supposed to be 500 years old, and there's been all this outrage about it and stuff like that. Apparently the police aren't going to prosecute, but the local council are going to take action. And Toby initially stood by it, saying that the tree was dangerous, and they were told that it could, you know, bits could fall off and hurt their customers, stuff like that. They've since seemed to have rolled that back. And now they're very apologetic and what have you, and we'll see how this story develops. But one interesting thing that happened to me, when I went to the Toby Carvery on my birthday, it was okay, it was nice, you know. So I went back a few weeks ago. It was actually, it was the weekend of Mother's Day, but it was on the Saturday, not the Sunday. I get in there, and I'm booked as well, folks. And there's a lot of people sitting around. There's two people waiting at the bar to get served. There's me, where you walk up for someone to greet you, you know, to check off your booking and stuff. There's no one there for like 5 minutes. And then suddenly this manager pops up. And he comes over. And I'm like pretty annoyed by this point because I really don't like bad service. And I got there on time and it was like 5 minutes later. And I said about, oh, you'll need to wait another 5 minutes. And I just looked at him, I said, forget it, and I walked out. That's it. Now get this, you get a survey from Toby Carvery where you can write up how your experience was. Well, I put down exactly what happened. And who looked at it? But the very manager who I complained about in the survey. That makes sense, doesn't it? So that's really going to change things if he looked at it. And he, you know, he was very cocky, a real, you know, well, oh, maybe you should go to a different branch. You know, maybe that'd be more suitable for you. You must realise it's Mother's Day weekend. And, well, okay, so if it's Mother's Day weekend, why does that mean you've got no staff on the bar and no staff to greet people? He didn't answer that at all, okay? He just thought he you know, go off on his own little thing here. But, yeah, I won't be going near that place again or that idiot. And so I wasn't surprised to see this going on, because if you employ these sorts of people who've got absolutely no idea of customer service, if it's a Mother's Day weekend, you get more staff in, especially if you know you're going to be busy because you've got bookings. But I don't know how it works if, you know, obviously the less people that they have on, the more money they're going to make. It's all about the grift these days. But that was my recent experience. And finally, I was looking at earthnewspaper.com that we're going to look at in a little while, Mark R. Else's website, and he did a feature on the first ever Electric Light Orchestra ELO concert, and it mentioned a pub in it in London called the Fox and Hound. And I know I was on a holiday quite a while ago, and at the end of it I was with a friend. I went on one lad's holiday, I think in 98. And that was like five of us. And then me and one of those guys went away in 2007. We were away for New Year. So we went away, I think, on Boxing Day or something like that, day after Christmas, and came back shortly into New Year, just for a week. And we went to Lanzarote. And I won't bore you with the details, but it was... We were on this complex and we had our own separate rooms because, you know, we're older. I don't want to, you know, be, do you know what I mean? I want my own space, and so did he. And we seemed to be the only one on the complex. And they put us quite a distance away from each other, so you had to wander over. It's all like little chalets and stuff like that. It's very odd. You had like cooking facilities in it and stuff like that, which of course we never used. But why am I mentioning that? Well, on the way back, we had to change at a station called West Croydon, because we got the train to the airport and all that sort of stuff. And before we went, we decided to go for a drink. And there's a pub directly opposite West Croydon station called the Fox and Hounds, with an S, plural. And I thought, I wonder if that could be the ELO pub. Fox and Hounds is a pretty common name, but Croydon's in London. So I decided to type it in. And what came up in my search was this article. I'm going to read you in its entirety because it's from a website called yourlocalguardian.co.uk. And it's got different categories at the top, Croydon, Richmond and Twickenham Sutton. And I remember the Sutton Guardian, your local paper, you got put through the door because my grandparents used to live in Sutton. And when they come over each weekend, I'd always ask them to bring the paper with them because they'd arrive on a Friday evening and stay till the Sunday so that I could look at the section which showed where all the car boot sales were. Because they took place on a Sunday, and I used to like going there Sunday morning. And for those of you who don't know what car boot sales are, basically a school might open up its playing fields or something like that on a Sunday. You turn up in your car with all your things you want to sell in your car boot. You would generally pay about £10 or something like that to sell, set your stall out, as it were, and then people would come. And sometimes these days you have to pay as a customer to go into them as well. In the past, you could just walk around free. And you go and see what people had to offer. And so it's quite good fun because, you know, you might get three or four charity shops in the town. But some of these car boot sales I've been to, you're talking 400 or 500 stalls. And people selling their own stuff, they tend to be a lot cheaper than a lot of these charity shops as well. So it is fun. And the reason I mention it is this is what the local Guardian meant to me growing up. But what I found here, as I say, just seeing if the Fox and Hounds pub was the one in Croydon, get this for a headline. This has got to be the weirdest rock and roll death in history. And this is published on the 9th of September 2010. Electric Light Orchestra star killed by hay bale launched career in Croydon. And it's only a short article, so I'm going to read it all to you. A founding member of the Electric Light Orchestra, which was launched in Croydon, has been killed by a giant bale of hay. Michael Edwards, 62, was crushed in the freak accident last Friday after the 50-stone bale smashed into his van as he was driving along the A381 in Devon. The hay is thought to have fallen off a farmer's tractor, careering down a hill before falling over a hedge and smashing into the cab of the van. Police identified the cellist, who lives in Totnes, through pictures and footage on YouTube. They are appealing for members of his family to come forward and have located a brother David in Yorkshire. The ELO played their first live concert in the Fox and Hound again. They don't use the plural. It's definitely the Fox and Hounds pub in Croydon on April the 15th, 1972. And you think that they would know because they're the local Guardian newspaper, so they should be familiar with the local area. Maybe even back then you had these big corporations controlling local news, as Malefica Scott revealed on some of our Limey's show. Let's go back to the article. Mr. Edwards was part of the Rock Orchestra until 1975, contributing to its massive success with 50 million records sold worldwide. A tribute on ELO's website reads, "While his accomplished cello playing was invaluable to ELO's live orchestral sound, Mike quickly became a crowd favourite with his on-stage clowning, infectious grin, and on occasions an exploding cello, and a rather unique solo that involved playing his instrument with a grapefruit. He left the band in 1975 and became a Buddhist, settling in Totnes to teach music. He was a founding member of the Devon Baroque Orchestra. The health and safety executive even is investigating the accident. Police have spoken to the farmer that owns the field where the bale is thought to have fallen from. Inspector Andy Hamilton of Devon and Cornwall Police said, although it would appear to be a freak accident, we've got to thoroughly investigate the circumstances before we can draw any conclusions. And one can only wonder if these sort of things would be so thoroughly investigated today when the priority seems to be on what people say online. Okay, so that is all of the news I found of interest in the last week. So now let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. So let's go over to Associated Press. Let's see what's happening here. The top story, Supreme Court blocks for now new deportations under 18th century wartime law. That reminds me about, it seems very convenient that they're kind of taking a law that wasn't meant for this and using it for their purposes, a bit like how Alison Chablot was prosecuted in the UK for something to do with a law that was introduced to stop people from making harassing calls on the telephone. Somehow they managed, some smart lawyer managed to go in and say, yeah, we can use that to prosecute her. Again, using something it completely wasn't designed to do in order to go after someone that they don't like, but in this case, to stop a policy that they don't like. Okay, let's move on to BBC News. Let's do their top 10, shall we? See what's their top 10 most viewed stories at the moment. Most read, in fact, is what they call it. Been talking a lot, haven't I? I wonder how long I've been on the air. I knew there was a lot of articles, a lot to talk about. So, number 10, singer self-esteem. There were moments I considered giving up. Is that the name, self-esteem? I really don't know. Number 9, designed in the US, made in China, why Apple is stuck. Number 8, US Supreme Court halts deportation of Venezuelans under wartime law. So that's similar to the AP article I just read. 7, influencers fueling misogyny in schools, teachers say. There's a big anti-Andrew Tate push in the UK. I'm not a particular fan of his, but that's the sort of thing that comes to mind when I see a headline such as that. Number 6, Ukraine minerals deal may not buy peace after Trump threat. Number 5, Trump says US will pass on Ukraine peace talks if no progress soon. Number 4, pubs to stay open late for VE Day 80th anniversary. I'll be in beddy buys by then, folks, as you know. I generally go to bed by about 8, 9 at night. Won't affect me. Number 3, in fact, I don't remember the last... Oh, no, I met up with that friend of mine, didn't I, earlier in the year. That was when I had a beer in a pub. And the last time I had a beer in the pub before that was when I met up with him about 18 months before that. A year, something like that. Anyway, gone are the days when I was in there most weekends and then going on to a nightclub. In fact, I was saying to Amanda the other day, we were walking around, I said, where are all the nightclubs now? They all seem to have gone. You know, when I was younger and there were nightclubs everywhere, and now I can't find one when I'm walking around. So just show a sort of change in the times from when I was growing up. And I thought I had fun. But as I said on the show about why I found out I didn't like the 90s, maybe it wasn't so much fun after all. I imagine if I'd have been in there stone cold sober for 4 or 5 hours at a time, it would have got incredibly boring. Okay, let's move on to number 3. Schools, misogyny surge and cheers for beers. That's obviously relating to two headlines I just covered, and it's going to be the BBC's What the Papers Say daily feature. Number 2, bin strike exposes divide between rich and poor. This is this ongoing bin strike in Birmingham, which doesn't appear to be being resolved. And number 1, British couple killed in Naples cable car crash named. Let's move on to see what's going on at the top of the Daily Mail. The local delicacy being blamed for a tenth of this village's population getting motor neurone disease. Wow, let's have a look and see where this is. It looks like it could be... No, it's a place called Montchavin in the French Alps. So if you want to read into that further, then the headline again is the local delicacy being blamed for a tenth of this village's population getting motor neurone disease. And I'm going to also have a look. You see, the Daily Mail is one of the most read news, I'm told, certainly the last figures I looked at, it's the most read news website in the world. But it's not the most read newspaper in the UK. In fact, it's got about half the circulation of its second, but the top one is The Sun in the UK. And this is owned by Rupert Murdoch. So we'll have a look at the top headline there as well. Exclusive wave of change. We've been left to rot by Labour in dead seaside town as junkies feign homelessness to score smack and thieves run riot. It reminds me, actually, a while ago, maybe a year or so, I was walking down a street, the high street, in fact, in a place called Purley, which is where I believe Reginald Perrin, the fictional character of The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin, lived, somewhere in Purley. But I was walking down the high street and there was one of these doors leading to an apartment above a shop, something like that. And some guy was leaving it and he was carrying a cup and a I'm homeless, please help sign. So he didn't look homeless to me as he was leaving and locking up after himself as he left. But yeah, that's something that comes to mind when I read that headline. And there's a lot of these sort of seaside towns that have gone to ruin in the UK. You can only, if you don't believe me, then listen to the song Every Day Is Like Sunday by Morrissey. And that takes us back to the early 90s, I believe. I think it was off the Boner Drag album. And it's a pretty good song, actually. And that's all about, this is the coastal town that they forgot to close down. Armageddon, come Armageddon, come Armageddon, come. Every day is like Sunday. Every day is silent and grey. Now, if that hasn't put you off going to listen to it, then nothing will. But I can assure you that Morrissey does a far better job than me. And I might actually go and listen to that later, funnily enough. It's a pretty good track, and I haven't listened to any of his stuff for a long while. I tend to, if I want to listen to him, I'll just go straight to The Smiths, which was the best stuff. But he did some interesting solo songs as well. The track 4, I believe, on the CD of 1994's Your Arsenal album was called The National Front Disco. One wonders if that would get a release today. Okay, let's move on and see what is going on in the independent media right now. So, I say RT.com. Well, let's see what's going on here. I may well drop this site. I'm not sure yet. I might be forced to if there ends up being some sort of conflict with Russia, which, as you know, my belief is all these people are controlled by the same people. But I want to keep this show on the air for you so you have something to listen to while they're closing everything down. They've got something at the top. Moldovan bishop blocked from flight for Easter ritual again. And that is their top story. Moldovan authorities intimidating largest Christian church. So that again. It's in the Bible. This is what Rick Adams, that's most of the stuff I've been listening to in last week has been Rick Adams. And he even mentioned that he had a Radio Avenger channel on Brighteon.com. So that was videos of him. In fact, I used one of the stills from one of his videos when we recorded shows together. I believe it was on my show 10 times in total. And he was a good friend, and of course he does the intro to the show, and passed away sadly 4 years or so ago. But just listening to his shows, and he talked about things as they were. He didn't use this stupid modern terminology like blackpilled, stuff like that. He just said, look, all this stuff that you see, it's just theatre. You will see we are gradually advancing towards what it says happens in the Bible. The book of Revelation, how, you know, God's people will be silenced. They'll be persecuted. They'll be targeted. They'll be in all sorts of ways till they're not allowed to speak. And we're seeing that in the UK. And it's been going on for a very long time. They're just ramping it up. But what Rick Adams used to always say is as they do this, and they're very, very smug and very happy with themselves that they're silencing people, they're actually falling into God's plan for their destruction. So they end up destroying themselves by doing what God says that they will do that results in their demise. So that's basically the message that Rick would give consistently through his broadcasting, and it's the one that I believe. Okay, let's move on to Rents.com. See what's going on Jeff Rentz's site. There is an amazing video at the top. It's called Dog on a Skateboard Awesome. Folks, I downloaded this. I found it was that good. And it's funny because the first couple of steps that he goes down, he has to use his back legs to sort of propel himself for the next set. But the last couple of sets, he's got enough speed on him that when he goes on the long flat step, he doesn't need to push anymore. He can just use the speed that he's built up. So it really is very clever. I mean, it could be AI. I was looking at it, but I'd love it to be genuine. So I'm going to treat it like Quentin Tarantino said about certain aspects of his film, such as the briefcase that opens up in Pulp Fiction to have a bright light coming out of it. you know, what does that mean? And he said, it's whatever you want it to mean. I like to do that in my film so that people, that's the audience, every individual audience members, that's their own part of the film. And it's whatever you want it to mean. So it can personalise it for you. And I want to believe that this is true. Yes. And I want to believe photo that Mulder had on his office wall with the UFO in. I've got I Want to Believe with a doggy on a skateboard on some steps. Okay, let's see what's going on with his muse. He's talking about Trump. Let me see. Slimy new Trump efforts to cloud COVID bioweapon. Obvious intentional release by claiming illicit gain of function research led to lab leak, then pandemic. So that is the top story. And then we've got US offers Russia sanctions relief for peace, but warns Trump could move on. Most everything he has done has a thuggish undertone. So these are the sort of things that are going on over there. And I think there was something about Trump building up. We might get to it. I'll just mention, I've seen it. He's not building up all these things in... Well, I think actually, let's pause for a moment. I think this might be on howturntheradioshow.com, which is where we're going now. What's the one I'm looking for? US deploys B-1B launch strategic bombers to Japan. Okay, that's from yesterday. 11,000 people have already clicked on it. It's three lines, so I'll read it to you. For the first time since the Vietnam War, the United States is deploying heavy bomber aircraft to Japan. B-1B Lancer strategic bombers began arriving in Japan today due to tensions in the Pacific. Read that to mean China. These strategic heavy bombers are with the US Air Force 9th Expeditionary Bomb Squadron based at Dyess Air Force Base, Texas. They arrived at Misawa Air Base in northern Japan in support of a bomber task force deployment under Air Force Global Strike Command, AFGSC. And one thing I'll always remember from when I followed David Icke years ago, over 20 years ago now, I last looked at him when he was doing some of his protest marches against COVID, which I supported, but his beliefs and mine as to who's really responsible really don't tally up. In fact, his was the first item of the alternative media I actually would spend money on. It was a second-hand copy of The Biggest Secret. I believe I bought it in late 1999 or early 2000. And I bought it from the Book and Comic Exchange in Notting Hill in London. And I remember it had a little tear on the spine. And it was still quite expensive. I think it was £8, £9, £10, something like that. But it was cheaper than buying it new. So I just thought I'd get that. And anyway, but the reason I mention that is that one thing that he's been going on about for years is one of the plans is a war with China. And we see what's going on in the middle over there right now. And these ridiculous tariffs that Trump is putting on China, which, you know, how was Japan brought into the Second World War? Well, I think they were preventing them from getting rubber, things like that they needed. And so Japan were forced into. I mean, I don't think you should be forced into, like, bombing Pearl Harbor, you know, something like that. But a lot of people who talk about that say that they were provoked into that action by some form of sanctions on them, which sounds eerily similar to what Trump is doing to China today, doesn't it? Okay, let's move on to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. And again, this website, Mark puts up a lot of links to videos. So if you're missing content due to some of the shutdowns of, I know it was all content, you know, video on BitChute, stuff like that. I don't know if Gab, it was a place people used to go for video, stuff like that. I never bothered with that at all. But at the top is something that many of you already have heard, and I want to thank Mark for publishing it and giving it prominence. It's Tuesday's show with Dr. Peter Hammond, the worst abuse of justice and the greatest crime in history. I want to share something with you about that. Now, Peter originally wanted to do this the previous Tuesday. And he said, oh, do you think we should wait till Easter week? I said, well, if you know you're going to be here, it's more relevant. And so we did the show on the Cat in Forest massacre instead. But he said he already had the image for the show. which was something to do with an open tomb of Jesus Christ. And I meant to, I had a note down, you know, when I'm making notes for the show post, I put it at the top, ask him to send me this image after we've recorded the show. And then afterwards I thought, well, I don't need it till next week. There's no point me having it now, saving it, because I'm not going to create the post till next week. So let's wait till next week. Anyway, next week came when I sent him the reminder. And he sent me the image, and it was of the trial of Jesus Christ with Pilate. And I thought, that's really weird. That's completely different to what he was going to use. And so I kind of wondered, the way my mind works is this the one that God wanted us to use? Because, you see, I asked him for the show image in my reminder email to him. Now, if instead of doing that, I'd have asked him, as I made a note down the previous week, oh, yeah, while you're here, do you mind just forwarding that show image? I wouldn't have asked him for the show image because I'd already have had it. But it was actually a bit of a different one than he ultimately intended to use. But he wouldn't have used it because I wouldn't have asked him for it. So, you know, you can speculate on that all that you like. But I feel that this had some sort of divine influence as to the picture that was wanted to be used for this show. Okay, so that is at the top. And the quote of the day is, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That's from John chapter 13, verse 34. And again, if you scroll down, we'll see if we can find any examples. Well, first up, second story down, Denis Kucinich. I know that I've heard this name. Denis Kucinich. Is it Kucinich? Something like that. You can have a play with that name. Well, he did a Good Friday interview, which was obviously yesterday. It was called Crucifixion of Gaza, Passion of Palestine. It's 29 minutes. It's by Kevin Barrett. And Mark provides you with the rumble.com link to that. And I imagine you're going to find a lot more of these sort of shows if you just work your way through this great news aggregate website. Okay, so let me have a quick look at the clock, and I have been on for 71 minutes, so that's almost a record for me for this show. So I hope I've not bored you and it's been worth listening to. You can only assess a show at the end, and you can think, was it worth my time or wasn't it? And sometimes it's so good that you listen to it again. But I just hope, my desire is that it was worth spending your time. I want to do something different here. If you want to get, you know, all the sort of top stuff in the independent alternative stuff like that, I would direct you to the ISIS Watching channel on Odyssey.com. I would direct you to Robert Ravolt's Sunday show for as long as he's doing it, because he said he'd retired and he'd carry on going until a replacement would be found, and he did do a show last Sunday. So, oh, he won't be doing one this Sunday, I know that, because he said last Sunday that RBM were off on Sunday for Easter Sunday. So it's nice to see them observing that holiday. But let's round this up with the Before It's News Top 10. And we don't know how long we're going to be able to do this, because as Mark Collett said, the sites that fall under the auspices of the Online Safety Act are sites where you can post video, photos or comments, and you can certainly post comments on here. So let's go and have a look at the top 10, which I've just gone, no, I'm in the right place. Okay, number 10 went up a day ago, 120 people viewing. Dr. Lee Merritt, shocking disclosure, welcome to the apocalypse. And then we move on to, it says video in brackets. Well, I don't think I've ever seen an audio on Before It's News. They all seem to be video because I'm always converting them to audio. But anyway, so I don't think you need to put video in brackets anymore. I think it's a given that it's going to be. I suppose it could be an article, couldn't it? Okay, I shouldn't nitpick. Okay, number 9 went up a day ago, 123 people viewing. Michael Jaco, Scott McKay and David Rodriguez, three people I don't listen to. Prepare for mass arrests and emergency alerts. Number 8 went up 3 hours ago, 134 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, emergency broadcast system activation imminent US. Number 7 went up 11 hours ago, 173 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford, urgent emergency. They were all executed at Gitmo. Didn't you say that last week or the week before? Well, it's dated 4/18/2025, so maybe I'm wrong. Number 6 went up 2 days ago, 181 people viewing. Bo Polney, Reverse Rapture, very, very, very soon. Carolyn Dennis 2025. Number 5 went up 3 hours ago. 189 people viewing. Alex Collier and David Nino Rodriguez. No one expected what's next, and it's big. Buckle up. Video in brackets. Number 4 went up a day ago. 202 people viewing. Melissa Redpill update today. Melissa Redpill important update. There you go. Number 3 went up 9 hours ago. 221 people viewing. New X22 report. April the 18th. Trump checkmate king. Scavino sends a message. Game over 2025. Number 2 went up 10 hours ago. 256 people viewing. Kerry Cassidy, huge intel, April the 19th. Trump, White Hats, Tariffs, 2025. And number 1, dear oh dear, went up 10 hours ago, 439 people viewing, the Pleiadians. This video may shock you. The true story of humanity. Okay, that's it, folks. I want to thank all of you for joining me today for a show entitled The 30th Anniversary of the Oklahoma City Bombing. I'm talking to you. We'll be back with you next Saturday. Unless you want to be back, me back with you earlier, you know what to do. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend, and bye for now.